Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. And since it is the first Tuesday of January, and by the way, Happy New Year to everyone, that means we're soon, real soon here, going to bring on Kip Iohn, the great coach at Willamette University, where he played. And now he's coaching. It doesn't get any better than that. But I am Gregory Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops or at www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com. But as I mentioned, it's the first Tuesday. We bring on Kip Iohn, and he is coaching at Willamette University as the head men's coach. They are a member of the Northwest Conference, and Kip is well thought of in the coaching ranks. And good evening, Kip, and Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, Greg. Great to be on with you again. Been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. You missed the last one because of a game, and rightfully so. You just couldn't get on, and we have Kip on the first Tuesday, as I mentioned, of every month. And Kip, assess your team right now. 3-8. You played a very tough schedule. I've gone back and analyzed it. It's a very tough schedule you played. And now you're heading into league play again. Tell us what you think as the boss of this team.
Well, you know, I think if you'd asked me that question probably 3-4 weeks ago, I probably would have been in a little more sour mood. But I like where we're at. You know, obviously the record is not where any of us thought it would be. But like you mentioned, you know, just the way teams have shook out and the way teams have shown up for the season, we've played a lot of very good teams. You know, some of our losses have been to a lot of teams that have very, very good records. So I think we've been through the gauntlet. Obviously, I think we'd like to have won some of those games. The Corbin game comes to mind, a buzzer beater that went in and out. POU at home against a very good team that we led for 39 minutes. You know, those types of things are always in the back of your head. But, you know, over our last four games, we've split, gone 2-2, beat a very good Occidental team at home. Did that without two of our starters. Then we're down to Whittier and beat Whittier on their home floor. So, you know, I think we've got some positive momentum. There's still a ton, obviously, we can do better on the floor. But I really like the practice week we had. You know, I think sometimes it helps when you're on holiday break with the players. Their focus is really only on hoops. They don't have to worry about their grades. They don't have to worry about class schedules. So a lot of their it's a lot more time, and a lot of their brain time, so to speak, is just on basketball. So I like where we're at. Obviously, we've got a heck of a week ahead of us with having to go to see Coach Lund's team in Tacoma at Puget Sound, and then have to get right back home the next night to play Coach Rosenberg's Linfield team, who were very, very improved. So we got our work cut out for us, but I like where we're at.
And quite frankly, Kip, when do you not have your work cut out for you for any team in the Northwest Conference? Because, you know, you and I have talked about this before off and on the air, and all the coaches agree. It's a league of a lot of great students, talented young men, and tremendous basketball coaches. And you're probably never going to get be able to out-coach anybody, nor is anyone going to be able to out-coach the opponent.
Right. Well, you know, I think that's, you know, that's part of the reason why I think all of us spend so much time in front of the film. There's 50% of the time you're trying to find any edge you can find, and 50% of the time you're trying to talk yourself out of the fact that you might get blown out watching the great film that we see in our league. So, you know, as we're talking right now, I've got Linfield up on one screen, and on the other window I've got UPS. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a challenge. I think it's a good stress that if such a thing exists, because, you know, I like the challenge of our staff trying to digest a ton of information on two really good teams with really good staffs that are trying to do the same thing about us, and then find a way to explain and kind of disseminate that information to your players in a way that they can understand and actually go do something with. You know, I think there's, you know, whether you're a huddle team, a crossover team, a synergy team, there's so much information out there right now and so much access to film and cut-ups of other teams, you can get lost in it. You know, my wife has to come by and shut the laptop sometimes so I don't go blind staring at film. But it's also a lot of fun as a coach. There's a lot of things you can find, some tendencies, some weaknesses you may think. Got to go see yourself to see if you've got any tendencies that people might pick up on film. So it's a great stress, but it's something that drives you 7 days a week.
And I know Kelly is listening tonight, your outstanding wife. And for Kelly, I'm going to tell her, give her something that I just read today, Kip. When you're okay. staring at that computer, you need to take a five-minute break every 20 minutes. That will help your eyesight. So
I like it.
There's
I need
what
it.
You got. maybe some referees should probably have to do that there with their eyesight. But
well, I send them enough
anyway,
clips. They've got enough to watch.
Yeah. Speaking of watching video, Kip, this time of year, it's January 6th. Does your routine change a little bit? Is practice time cut back, more video,
yeah.
more meetings? Or does that
yeah.
solely depend on how you're playing?
No, I think that's where you can get in trouble as a coach. It's a great question, and I think it's something that I'm still evolving my own personal beliefs in, something I think I probably did wrong earlier in my career as a head coach, is absolutely when you play poorly, I think there's an overcorrection and overreaction you can easily do. We've tried to implement this year as a staff, and even going back to last year, that we're trying not to watch the film with the emotion from the game right afterwards. As a coach, if you win a close one, lose a close one, you want to go right to the film and see. But I think you can get lost in what your immediate gut reaction is, and that's all you'll see on the film. So, we have some forms we fill out as a staff, some post-game reactions that we think are going to be on the film, and then we'll meet early in the morning to go over it because we can't wait that long. But I think it's helped us kind of see the bigger picture. And maybe something that we thought was the exact reason things didn't go our way or things did go our way really isn't showing itself on the film if you wait 7 hours and get up in the morning and watch it rather than go right from the floor to your office and turn it on and all of you sit around in the heat of the moment yelling and screaming about stuff you just got done screaming about on the floor. So, I think in that regard as a staff, we're still trying to evolve our process, but we try to keep a consistent time for the guys. For us, it's Mondays and Wednesdays we're going to watch film. Mondays is all about us. We're just going to watch our stuff, what we can improve on. And then come Wednesday, we'll start talking about the opponents. We've tried to keep that plan consistent as much as we can throughout the year. That way, hopefully, an old Gordy saying, and I'm sure thousands of coaches out there use the same one, you don't get too high on a win, too low on a loss, and you try to stay as even as you can. And that's hard to do if you're in the middle of a losing streak and you're trying to find ways to break out of it. The temptation is to put them through a longer practice, to grind them harder. But I don't think you necessarily need to grind them harder. You need to grind them better. And so that's something that we're, as a staff, we're obviously not perfect at it, but it's something that we're trying to stay consistent with our approach and how we present materials to the guys.
Kip, is there, you started out the league play 0-2. What is your approach as a coach? Does that put added pressure on this game at Puget Sound on Friday, or is it a Chip Kelly faceless opponent? Sorry to invoke
his
name in here, but
no, that's okay. No, I think there is a little bit more pressure on it because of how we started. I think if we tried to lie to the guys about that, I think they would see right through it. Like you mentioned before, NWC kids are in the NWC because they're very, very intelligent. So if we try to sugarcoat the situation we're in, I think they can see right through that. But like I said, we're not going to prepare differently. We're going to do the same steps we go through in evaluating every opponent. But I think there's a heightened sense of urgency in practice, knowing that we, we're down two games at losing at Pacific and losing a tough one at home to PLU. And this is absolutely an opportunity to get back in it. But UPS in the same boat at 1-1. They're trying to get off. They're trying to get a home win to start their home part of the schedule. But Linfield's trying to stay, doing their great start, trying to keep their things rolling. So, I think our guys are well aware of where we stand and how we need to get back into the race. And for me to try not to, to try to downplay that, I think would be doing them a disservice.
Yeah, and, Kip, it's an unusual situation in the Northwest Conference. I know that this saying has remained popular for 5 years. It's probably on its way out, but it is what it is. But, to go to Puget Sound, then you come right mm-hmm. back and play some school called Linfield.
Right.
And yet the Washington schools don't face that same situation in a lot of cases, especially the Witt.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
down here for two games, and And there's a little bit of unfairness in that, but maybe there's nothing that can be done about it, and you still got to play the games. But it does make it a little bit more difficult.
Well, I think it is a challenge, you know, the splits between, you know, whether you're in Washington going to Oregon or vice versa. But I think on the same, you know, and to be honest with you, I've been in many meetings where I've argued similar to your points you just made. But I understand where maybe the wits are coming from, and they're traveling, and their distance they travel every single other weekend is very, it's an impressive feat that they have to overcome as well. So I don't think it's an excuse we can use. I definitely think it's something you have to prepare your teams for. You have to encourage their diets to be proper. You have to encourage the amount of rest. You try to maximize your travel plan as much as you can. You know, something Coach Swagner on the women's side from Art at Willamette and I have done is gone up days before for Tacomas. And, you know, during the holiday break, that's easier to do because you're not missing class. So we'll practice. We got a community give back event at an elementary school tomorrow we're doing. Then we'll practice and we'll hit the road and be able to sleep in a hotel in Tacoma and get up tomorrow, have shoot around at UPS, and hopefully, you know, level the playing field as much as we possibly can. And I'm sure the Washington schools try to plan their travel accordingly, you know, and that's part of the reason we're in the big chair and we're head coaches full time, is we got to think of all these small details to try to maximize any advantage you can find. You know, and that's part of the job. But like you mentioned, it is a unique challenge that exists in our league. And part of it is just simple math. The 9 teams, it makes it very hard for any scheduler. And trust me, we've tried to find one that can figure out a way to pair all the Tacomas up and pair everybody into the equal back-to-back numbers. So it's something you got to deal with and something you just got to find a way to play through.
Kip, let me throw this out to you. I, as you know, I talk to Coach Lunt, to your opponent,
yep,
Friday,
yep,
every first month on Tuesday. And he told me last night he never really had heard this, but it caused him, he's going to think a lot about it. He's going to answer it next month. But anyway, and that's,
yep,
fine. I would love to see the Northwest Conference to go to like a Friday, Sunday afternoon. Give
mm-hmm.
you that day between. I don't think it,
yeah,
would cut into class time. I think you would have a singular kind of edge there on Sundays. Not a lot of teams play on Sundays,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the small college area. And I just think it'd be for better basketball. Now, people are going to come back and say, you know, student athletes and everything. But you know
mm-hmm.
what? I'm all for this. I'm all for the student that travels from Salem, Oregon to Seattle to do a saxophone concert or a
mm-hmm.
debate team or what. It's part of the overall experience, as
yeah.
should be athletics. And I think you want to maximize the experience.
Well, I think there's, you know, that, you know, it's an idea that's been floated. You know, there's some coaches that both past, present, and I'm sure down the line have floated that, why are we playing back-to-backs Friday, Saturday, which makes it very hard, you know, preparation for all of us, coaches, men's, women's sides, both home and away teams, prepping for a Friday and a Saturday opponent makes it very difficult, having that day between. If it was Friday, Sunday, I think there's some merit in that argument. I think, like you mentioned, that the blowback you're going to get from the powers that be is extended trips. There's not a true homework day on the weekends. I've heard that pushback from some other people, not necessarily coaches, but other people. You know, there's so many layers of approval you have to go through to get conference schedules approved. So that true homework day not existing, I think has been brought up quite a bit in talking about Friday-Sunday splits. I think there's something to be said on a positive side for, like you said, Sunday afternoon crowds. There's not a lot to do. The NFL is done. College football is done. And, you know, that sometimes could be a unique window. But like I said, also the travel involved going back Mondays and getting in late. Man, you know, there's so many positives and gives and pulls on any schedule. But I think it's worth relooking. You know, I think that's something that I've always, Coach Cleary, Coach Lund, a lot of us have always been open to, is having the discussion. Whether or not we win the discussion is another thing entirely, but having the discussion to make sure we're not doing things just because that's how they've always been done. I don't think that's a good enough answer to continue doing something. It needs to be the right way to do it, not just the oldest way to do it.
Yeah, any great business person, and sports is a business and academics is a business, there's no doubt about it. It's going to tell you, anyone that says we've been doing it for 50 years and we ain't about to change, they need to
right.
change them. But, you know,
right.
and along those lines, one more question about the conference as a whole, because I love your intelligent thought pattern always. That's why I like having you on. is I'm kind of an advocate of going to one plays eight and two plays seven, three, six, four, five, and it adds a couple extra games, but it also adds a lot of excitement. Once again, to me, it's about the student-athlete experience.
Yeah, well, and I that one I 100% side with you on. It's actually something that I've brought up myself as one of the few, you know, one of the things that I've really been a proponent for is expanding the conference tournament on both sides, men and women. Like you mentioned, there's an 18 format. I think there's a 16 format that still preserves the one and two having an advantage because they get a bye into the semis. So, you know, I completely agree with you in terms of the more student athletes that are still alive in February on a Saturday night in Newburgh or Salem or Spokane playing for a spot in a tournament, I think the better the quality of the game and the better the quality of experience. You know, I think as we're lucky we have the four team, but if you look around the country, a majority of the conferences around the country have a larger field for their own postseason tournament than we do. So, you know, that's something that I absolutely 100% agree with you on. It's six teams, eight teams. Let's get everybody in and find a way to do it and do it at a site. Yeah, you know, if Whitworth wins the league again, you know, they're awfully good again, and let's all go to Spokane, stay in hotels, and have the NWC tournament there, find some sponsors and expand it, and let's all get after it on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and have our kids have that tournament experience. You know, I know that's something that was huge for our group last year, finally getting a taste of it. In the 14 field, finishing fourth and getting in, you know, it was an amazing experience. Our seniors will never forget, and it drove our entire offseason with our underclassmen trying to get back to that feeling. So, you know, the more of us that can experience that, the better. Even if it's in a first-round game and you get bounced, you still were in the tournament and had a chance to experience it.
Kip, without giving away the game plan, what do you have to do to beat Coach Lund on Friday? They started off a little rocky, but I believe now they won four out of five.
Yep.
Playing good basketball. And here we go once again, Greg Crawford venting, but they won't have their students there, which is another thing that drives me crazy. But
it's a good thing for the
visitors. Yeah, exactly.
Right. But, you know, I think the number one thing that's you know, Coach Lund is obviously a former coach of the year. He's done a fantastic job, a friend of mine that's always willing to talk and share and discuss. But the thing that you got to always compete with his teams is how freaking hard they play. And you can see him on the sidelines. He's emotional. He's into the game, and his teams have always been tough. And I know a lot of people throw that word around out there. But, you know, I've never seen anybody, you know, out-tough a Justin Lund Puget Sound team, whether that's on the glass, whether that's on just finding ways to score. You're not going to get a lot of easy baskets against them. And the thing that's impressive with him is he's changed his style to fit his guy. You know, when he first started his run at UPS and went undefeated in the NWC, they were pressing the entire game, very up-tempo, up and down, dribble drive, wide open. And then as his talent shifted and the people that were really good for him changed position types, then they went to a power game where they just went after you inside, you know. And so, you know, I think that that's been the hallmark of his team is they're just going to be tough and everything's going to be earned. And up there, you know, like you said, kids not being there is a huge thing for us because that's one of the two or three toughest places to play in this league because they just feed off the crowd being right there on top of you. The student section's right there in the middle. Any three ball, any and one off a rebound, he's pumping his fist. The guys are into it. The crowd's going insane, and things can get away from you quickly there. I've been on the wrong side of some ugly scoreboards up at Memorial Fieldhouse. So, you know, I think last year was the first time we've been able to get a win up there in 10, 12 years. So we've got our work cut out for us again.
Kip, is there kind of a new frontier out here in and, you know, I'm a big fan of the NWAC. And for people listening around the country and around the world, that's the community college, two-year schools in Oregon, Washington. And a coach, we know you are a good friend, and we're both good friends of his. Tim Cleary has four out of his five starters are from the NWAC. And the reason I bring it up is a lot of Division I coaches you know, community college and everything. But there's a new emphasis on community colleges and academics, and they're becoming more powerful academically. Is that going to be a new horizon for recruiting? Not that you forgot them, but is it going to be opened up more down the road?
I think it's a choice, you know, program per program and how it fits in your university. You know, I think, like, I agree with you, the NWAC is a great league, fantastic basketball, really long-time coaches or really good young coaches in that league. So, you know, I've seen you tweet a lot about different games you're at, and there's some very good games in the NWAC and some very quality players. I think it's a matter of, you know, whether it's TC or Pacific, and does it fit his recruiting model to go after X amount of JUCOs? You know, he's been very successful with it. I mean, they're very good this year. Impact players they brought in, and you fit that with TC's coaching ability, you know, they're going to be able to do some things like they have already this year. You know, for the NWC, I think it's always you have to fit and match the community college curriculum with what your university requires. As far as which credits match, which credits transfer over, which don't. Some places are very easy to transfer. Kid does a great job at Schmeckede, for example. He's going to transfer over to Willamette, you know, pretty easily. Other places, not so easily, or different institutions. So I think it's something coach by coach, program by program, you have to make a conscious choice. Is this the route that's going to work for us? Not that is it a route that's good or bad. I think it could be good if it fits you. You know, if it fits your program, and some it does better than others, and I think it's, you know, the results are there for those that use it right. You know, you could absolutely turn your program around in 4 months, and all of a sudden you've got some really impactful sophomore or junior-type players that are ready to win games for you.
Kip, you know, let's carry that on just to flip it a little bit with the academic side. One reason why I love talking to you is I always get a lot of comments from people about how enjoyable you are to listen to and how committed you are, then the passion, and it comes out on the radio, which it doesn't always come out with people when you interview them. And I guess my comment is how tough is it academically at Willamette? And talk a little bit about that and what somebody needs to be doing in high school to prepare to go to Willamette.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. It is a tough school. And I don't think we try to hide that from recruits, and I don't want anybody listening that may have somebody they know as a student-athlete that is going to come into Willamette under the impression it's not a difficult school. It absolutely is, and that's what we pride ourselves in, that we're an academic institution that's really going to challenge a student. And I think a big thing for Willamette, and this could be very easily be true for a number of schools in our conference. You know, all of our conferences are great academic institutions, but the thing that I know that I benefited from as a student athlete, and now is, you know, still giving his time in professional career to Willamette, and I know my players that I've either been an assistant coach for, or this is my 7th year as the head coach. The thing that Willamette challenges you to do is you're not allowed to just memorize facts. It's a very real-world setting that puts you in different classroom types, and you're going to have to take knowledge. You're going to have to know it, but then how do you use the knowledge you have? How do you express it? How do you communicate it? How do you debate people? How do you make a point with it? Which I think is what we all do day-to-day in all facets of our job. How do we interact with human beings that may not believe the same thing we do or may not have the same goal that we do going forward? And I think that's what Willamette has always done a phenomenal job with, is the professors, the faculty, the curriculum, just the school itself really pulls you out of your comfort zone. You know, there's a lot of kids up there that can take a test and get high scores by just repeating facts. At Willamette, you got to take those facts and make them your own, so to speak. And I think that's the main challenge that our guys go through. You know, luckily for us, we've been able to find the right fit. We just finished with a 3.27. Fall GPA is up for our team. 18 of our 21 players on the roster finished above a 3.0. And I think that's a credit to the faculty at Willamette. That's a credit to the Learning Center and the academic support at Willamette. And really to our guys' dedication. You know, if you get into Willamette, you've done something right with time management and your commitment to academics in high school. Your family's instilled that importance in you. And if you can carry it over to success at Willamette, then I think you're setting yourself a pretty good path down the road.
And, you know, Kip, along those lines, I gave a talk the other day about the state of Oregon. I don't want to bore people with it. This is your show. But one of the questions when I was done from the audience was, what 5 people in the state of Oregon would I like to meet? I said this, actually, and you can tell him one of them is your president. I've heard him
there
talk before and everything. He's impressive. I would love
Absolutely.
To meet him.
He discovered a star, a planet. You know, he's pretty well-rounded. There's not many conversations in academia he can't hold his own in.
Absolutely. Who's playing good for you right now? I realize most of the time it's a team game, but
absolutely,
at times there's players that are outstanding and they
mm-hmm.
need to be mentioned.
Mm-hmm. No, you know, I appreciate that. You know, I think what we've, you know, our sign up on the locker room doors this week, we try to do a focus week, focus sponsor, quote unquote sponsor every week. And the one this week is find yourself and be that. You know, I think we've had a couple kids, you know, especially off the bench, that have really found what they're good at, and they are trying to be the best at that as they can. You take a junior like Jared Baumgartner, who started two games for us when Nico Troklin had to go home for a death in the family. And, all, you know, Jared's not a kid that's going to get 20 points a game. But goodness gracious, he's going to get three deflections, cause two turnovers, take a charge, and get two assists and come out. He might be the best six-minute guy in the league, and he's really embraced that. You know, and I think that's an infectious attitude that can spread through a team when a junior is completely 100% into his job. You know, I think Hayden Russell, another junior off the bench for us, has really come into his own this year as a guy that, Coach, I go in, I make some shots, I rotate correctly on defense, and I come back out, and I go back in later, and that's my job for 15 minutes a game. So, you know, obviously I'm very pleased with our starters, especially the way they've pulled us out these last four games, getting us back to 500 in those four, you know, Brendan McCullough, Brandon Ledke, Alex Brown, Bridger Harlington, and Nico. But I've really been impressed with some of the guys on the bench who early in the year, take a Casey Thornton, sophomore for us, that you could just tell at the beginning of the year he just wasn't used to being out there, was just a little nervous. But I found myself in California calling some isolation sets for him because he's really playing well and embraced who he can be for us. And I think the more that we get, you know, the better chance we have to pull ourselves out of the early hole we dug ourselves in December.
You know, Kiffin, one thing, you know, talking about the Northwest Conference and Willamette Bearcats, I had the pleasure of seeing August Scannon play out here twice,
Gotcha.
The number one team in Division III. But I will say this, and I know the game. People call me about
mm-hmm.
players, things all the time. There's just a slight differential there that could easily be changed with the Northwest Conference compared to Augustana. It's not like I was watching Kentucky play Northwestern,
right.
If that
it's
makes sense.
It's not like
you're
watching
Boise
State
games,
the Bearcats.
Right. I didn't say it.
No,
you know
hey,
what
that,
I mean.
That's me taking that game. But, you know, I completely agree with you. You know, in scouting and watching all the teams, you know, I've seen everybody on film. I've seen almost everybody live. You know, the level of competition in our league is just silly. It's awesome. You know, it really is. It's just taking a step back and taking myself out of the fight, so to speak. It's very impressive what all the other guys have been able to do in our league as far as, you know, recruiting to the standard that we all have to meet, putting together a product. And that there's different styles that everybody is very good at their own way of doing things. And I think to take a look at last night's game between Whitworth, who's in the top three, and Whitman's, who's in the top 25. That was a hell of a basketball game. You know, a Tuesday night in the NWC, and it's the Wits going at it in Spokane. That was just high-level basketball. You know, it stresses me out considering both of them are on a bus to come down to Salem next week. But it's really good basketball. And having played in California a lot this year, having been to the D3 Invitational in Vegas last year, and seeing a lot of other teams, like you mentioned, Augustana, playing a Whitewater, playing Dubuque last year from Iowa that we did, playing Northwestern from Minnesota, who was a Sweet 16 team. We're right there. You know, those teams, nothing to take away from them, but our league is, we see the same quality competition night in, night out that the rest of the country does. So it's an exciting time to watch the league and be a part of it.
Absolutely. Get out there and watch your game. Go and see Willamette play. I'm going
to
drive down to Willamette, and I'm going
to
watch
them
at least twice this year. Yeah, I'm excited. I will not be there Saturday, but, you know, because I don't know that team you're playing, but anyway.
Exactly.
Kip, have a great month. We'll talk to you again in a month. I'll see you in person very soon. Happy
Absolutely.
New Year, and thanks for doing a tremendous job on this program every time you're on.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
You betcha. That's Kip Ione, the head men's coach at Willamette University. Get out and see him play. Get out and see the Northwest Conference. If you go once, you're going to go twice, three times, four times. Happy New Year to everybody. Good night. And don't forget to make your free throws. And remember, if you can't listen to Kip live on this program, you can always pick up the podcast It's there forever. Don't forget to make all your free throws.